From the studios of WXXI, this is Backstage Pass. I'm Julia Figueres. Hollywood loves holidays, especially Christmas. Every year, we get another round of films filled with elves, Santas, and of course, a little dash of happy sentiment at the end. Today, Backstage Pass takes you to the movies with the Empire Film and Media Ensemble, here to play music from some of our favorite holiday movies, with a little singing, too. It's a cinematic Christmas next on WXXI. Welcome to Backstage Pass. I'm Julia Figueres, and we have the Empire Film and Media Ensemble's Holiday Spectacular, months in the making, finally coming to fruition on this Backstage Pass Holiday Edition. We have a lot of music to get to today, so we're going to dive right in on Classical 91.5 with the Empire Film and Media Ensemble E-Fame's rendition of Danny Elfman's Nightmare Before Christmas.
Thank you.
Music for The Nightmare Before Christmas. Danny Elfman wrote the music. We begin our E-Fame holiday spectacular with a creepy kind of start, the creepy Christmas piece of music. Grant O'Brien joins us. You're the artistic director of E-Fame. Welcome back.
Thank you so much for having me.
This actually started in January when you came in and we had kind of a chamber rendition of this. E-Fame is a big group, as we can see, but you're pretty flexible.
That's right. Yeah, we do a lot of different types of projects, and we like to be able to perform with a chamber group, to a mid-size orchestra like this, to a full orchestra, 80-piece orchestra.
So how did you go about picking what we're going to be hearing for the next hour here on Backstage Pass, Grant?
Well, I wanted to make sure that every single voice in this type of... we wanted to make sure that every single voice was accounted for. And while we're missing saxophones, they get to be placed in clarinet and flute and all over the orchestra, and it kind of makes for an interesting and fun little experience.
What is it about holiday movie music that is so compelling? People just love it.
Chimes and bells and sleigh bells, I think, is what makes it the best. But I think that there's something about it being kind of instantly nostalgic. There's something about it in the air, something in the atmosphere that film Christmas music just kind of makes.
Now, I noticed we had some jingle bells going on in the Danny Elfman. I assume this is not the last that we will hear of them.
Absolutely not. No, there'll be plenty of jingle bells to come.
Oh, yeah. Everybody wants jingle bells. So let's talk a little bit about E-Fame itself. You changed the name.
That's right.
Was the name change, was there a reason why you changed to what it is now?
Yeah, I think that this new name really encompasses what we do. Empire Film Music Ensemble didn't necessarily encompass more the broader aspects, because we don't just perform film music, we perform media music. So this has to do with video game music and anything that has a collaboration between music and the visual art. And that's what we want to strive to play with and perform.
What brought you personally, Grant, to the world of soundtracks?
Oh, man. Growing up, listening to film music was my intro into orchestral music. So listening to the Danny Elfman renditions of Batman and Spider-Man, I remember being so intoxicated with what it made me feel and how it really just totally changed film music. And whenever I got to Eastman, there was this film music ensemble that I had to be a part of, and it became such an important aspect of my life.
Danny Elfman is a very interesting example, too, because he began with this punk rock band Oingo Boingo and somehow turned into this.
That's right. Yeah, I think he was inspired by people like Bernard Herrmann and other fantastic film music greats. And you hear some of that Oingo Boingo influence and that kind of quirky, haunting kind of sound in all of his film music, and it plays really well with everything he does with Tim Burton.
Have you found a change in soundtrack writing from, obviously not from back in the piano days, but when there were orchestras in the movie halls to now what we're having, which is once again orchestras in the movie halls, have you seen a difference in the actual compositions, the way people are writing music?
Oh, yeah. I mean, people are using technology more than ever to create these soundscapes. So rather than just being able to play with an orchestral sound, they can manipulate it in all kinds of ways when you put it in a computer and in a box. And I think that people are now like Hans Zimmer are creating soundscapes that are based off of these orchestral sounds, but have this whole new light and experimentation to them that we just couldn't see with orchestral music.
Back in the day, you know, we used to have actual hits in top 40 that would come from these movie soundtracks, things like The Umbrellas of Cherbourg or, you know, Lara's theme. Do you think that this is going to happen again?
Well, I think that we're seeing both. I mean, if you look at something like Black Panther, there's this own film score, yet there's also a soundtrack with music from Kendrick Lamar and Tyler, the Creator. They actually have their own little version of that. So you're seeing both. You're really seeing both in new films.
Our guest, Grant O'Brien, we are about to listen to something you actually arranged. It shows up in every Christmas concert. We'll talk about your arrangements when we talk to you again, but off to the podium you go. The Empire Film and Media Ensemble, EFAME. Join us today on Backstage Pass. We'll hear a couple of pieces from the movies, beginning with John Williams, Somewhere in My Melody from Home Alone. We're live from Studio A. There you go. Some music from Frozen. Kristen Anderson Lopez and Robert Lopez wrote the music. And before that, Somewhere in My Memory, which comes from Home Alone by John Williams. Grant O'Brien, our artistic director, was actually the arranger of the John Williams piece. And sitting next to us is another one of the wonderful composers that are part of E-Fame. We'd like to introduce you to the music director, Max Berlin. Max, welcome.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Am I the only person in America who hasn't seen Frozen?
You know, if I'm being very truthful, it was a long time before I caught on. I did see it, I'll admit, but it was a long time, so I think you're safe.
Oh, good. I noticed there were some sleigh bells in that as well. So, of course, the big deal with Frozen is that song, Let It Go. What is it about these pieces of music, you're the composer, that clicks, that has that magic, that just, ooh, you know?
Well, I'm going to give you the best answer I can. And the best answer I can give you is, I have no idea. And the reason I say that is because sometimes with these songs, these tunes, these really popular, almost phenomenon, really, there's just sort of an X factor that comes with each one of these compositions. You know, frankly, when I first heard Let It Go, you know, at first I was thinking, oh, what's the big deal? It's another power ballad. Didn't the 80s go through that whole fad? But I was really interested to sort of live with the song, and now I really see the hype behind it. But truthfully, with composers and reaching audiences, I think with Let It Go in particular, I think it was really an anthem for young women and girls especially. I found that I had a lot of younger cousins who were belting Let It Go, and, you know, as someone who's not a young girl, I think that something maybe I don't understand.
But you'd like to.
Yes.
When you actually have an IMDb credit because you worked on...
I worked on, along with Mr. Grant O'Brien, who also has an IMDb credit, I worked on the web series Star Trek Continues, produced by Vic Minogna, and music written by Andy Farber, a Juilliard professor of composition.
Wow. So when you go to make music for a film, how do you, as a composer, approach it?
I'm going to borrow a quote from Hans Zimmer. Three words: story, story, story. That's really the only place I start. I want to create music that, just like an accompanist to a singer, really accompanies the story and tells exactly what the script and the characters and the visuals are supposed to tell. In a way, as a musician, the music has to be secondary in a way, but with great events like this, it doesn't have to be.
So let's hear a story, 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 one of the most famous of the Christmas stories ever told, and that would be How the Grinch Stole Christmas. The E-Fame Holiday Spectacular continues with music by Albert Haig and James Horner on Backstage Pass. Thank you. a medley from Harry Potter. Don Williams, of course, wrote the music. And before that, Albert Haig and James Horner's suite for How the Grinch Stole Christmas, all played by E-Fame as part of their holiday spectacular. And joining me now is Claire Caverly, who is the production manager of E-Fame. And welcome back to our studios, Claire.
Happy to be here.
It's so nice to have you here. You wrote a really charming blog for us, for our Classical 91.5 page, about what puts the jolly into film music. Now, we've already covered sleigh bells, but what else do you think really makes holiday film music jolly?
I mean, we're all pretty familiar with these tunes. I listened to a lot of soundtracks when I was writing that blog, and I was really hard to not find a soundtrack that featured God Rest You Merry Gentlemen. So we all know these songs. They're just like little arrangements of them all. But sleigh bells are pretty much the big feature.
And singing.
And singing, yeah. Yes. You'll hear it in Charlie Brown Christmas. We have a really nice choral arrangement of Christmas Time Is Here. And, I mean, singing is a huge part of the Christmas season. It's always stuck in our heads, all these songs.
That's true. I mean, that's it. The real core is the carol. I mean, that's what it comes down to, is singing in praise of light, in praise of whatever it is you're praising for the holiday seasons. Is there a holiday soundtrack that really sticks with you, Claire, that you can just go back to over and over again?
Truthfully, I've had Polar Express stuck in my head for about the last 4 weeks. So I can only think Believe all the time. I did do a little call out of that song in my blog.
It's a great song. Now, what other film music really sort of got you on this path to E-Fame?
I love Danny Elfman. You heard him in Nightmare Before Christmas at the beginning of this show. He's definitely my favorite film composer. But I don't know, film music just, it's the core of film music is emotion, and it's supposed to be kind of the message of what's happening on the screen. It's your like internal feeling. So I think film music just has this way of being that's so, I don't even know, intense, vital.
You know, it's funny, I don't think we ever really consider what impact the music has on the movie itself. If you were to take that music off the film, it would be a wholly different experience.
Mm-hmm. There's a really excellent video out there on the YouTube Ethernet that is The Notebook, but with horror film music. And it's kind of scary. It's all scenes from The Notebook, but with a really scary soundtrack. And I would buy it. I would buy that it's a horror film.
So, you know, I saw something on Johnny Carson once with Lalo Schifrin, and they were using Mission Impossible, the TV show, and they showed it with the music and without the music. And I have to tell you, without the music, pretty boring stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Nothing gets your heart beating like some really good strings or a low bass drum.
So we're going to send you over there because you have to sing. I know that's coming up. Claire Caverly is the production manager for E-Fame. And coming up, we have probably what I think is one of the most popular and most famous of Christmas music, the Charlie Brown Christmas Suite. Vince Guaraldi wrote it. Max Berlin, who is the music director of E-Fame, was the arranger of this. And here we go. A little voice, a little music, a little Charlie Brown on Backstage Pass. Thank you.
Thank you.
A lot of grooving in the band and a lot of grooving in the audience as well for the Charlie Brown Christmas Suite. Vince Guaraldi wrote the music, and that was actually arranged by Max Berlin, who's the music director of eFame, the Empire Film and Media Ensemble. And joining us again is Grant O'Brien, the artistic director. Grant, you are also an arranger. Mm-hmm. You have two on this program. We heard the John Williams already somewhere in my memory. And then we're also going to be hearing something from Elf as well that you also arranged. So what are you looking at with your arrangements? We can't get too technical, obviously, but what do you need to do to make an arrangement?
Well, it all depends on the group that you're working with, and you really have to pay attention to the strengths of, like, each. You can really pay attention to each individual orchestra, but you're really thinking about who am I like thinking about when I'm writing for this. And sometimes I think about individuals like my friends or something like that. So I'll give some parts to some people that I know that they're going to play.
So you're actually just, people should make friends with you, is what you're saying.
I guess, yeah.
And so when you are putting this particular group together, these are all Eastman students, is that right?
That's right, yep.
So it must be really rough to have so little talent at your fingertips.
Oh, no, that's the best thing. Oh, man, it's so amazingly, I'm so amazingly grateful to get to work with the people that I do, and they're such fantastic musicians, every single one of them. And no, it is such an honor. It is such an honor, and it's so great because we get to play these difficult arrangements like we do.
So we're going to hear one last arrangement, and this one is yours, belongs to you, John Debney's main title for Elf. We have Grant O'Brien taking his place up in front of the Empire Film and Media Ensemble as we jump back in for our last piece of this holiday spectacular. It's a little Elf on Backstage Pass. We're live in Studio A. The main title from Elf by John Debney, sung and played by the Empire Film and Media Ensemble, eFame. And sitting down with us again is the music director from eFame, Max Berlin. Max, welcome back. I know that eFame has played a lot at the Little before the 91.5 Presents movies, which we thank you for. It's always nice to have you there. But you also do other outreach, too. You've been very generous. For example, you did something with the Wounded Warrior Project.
Absolutely. And really, I do have to give a lot of credit to, our artistic director, Grant O'Brien, for sort of conceiving that project. But again, we wanted to do a concert surrounded Veterans Day and really honor some some great music and military films, and also just to honor that very special time for us. And in addition, we also had a concert a few years back, which we entitled Terra. And we wanted to produce a concert that was sort of pastoral theme, that sort of honored the beauty of our great Mother Earth. And we actually donated all the proceedings of that concert to Seed Folk City Farms. And that was a really fantastic collaboration. It's an urban farming organization here, right in Rochester, New York.
What's in the pipeline now for eFame? As you're looking down the line, what's up next?
Well, you know, I really am sad to say that this will actually be my last year as a music director and involved administratively in the ensemble, but I really have the highest hopes for where this organization is going to be. I also do want to make a mention of our next semester here, at least as Eastman students, we're going to be performing as the Empire Film and Media Ensemble with the Beale Institute as a collaboration. We're going to be doing a departmental recital featuring all student film composers at the newly appointed Beale Institute of Film and Contemporary Media at the Eastman School of Music. So we're really looking forward to that. That will be in mid-January.
And I assume you're looking for that one big Let It Go hit that you can have.
Aren't we all?
I want to thank you very much, Max, for coming in and sitting down with us.
And I do want to give one final shout-out. Speaking of arrangers and arrangements, I wanted to give a shout-out to a current Beale Institute student at the Eastman School of Music who generously arranged a very fabulous version of The Nightmare Before Christmas, the first piece you heard on tonight's program. That's Jake Denny.
Thank you again, and congratulations to all involved. Our executive producer for Backstage Pass is Gene Fisher. Our audio technician is Andrew Croucher, with help from Robert Braden and Lindsay Brown. Our floor manager is Robert Braden, and our intern is Colton Iavoli. Many people made this happen. Our facilities manager, Ruth Watson, and her crew, Laura Garrison and Jane Pitt, and everyone in membership. And of course, thanks to the wonderful friends of WXXI and eFame who were able to join us today as well. I'm your producer and host, Julia Figueres, with thanks to the Empire Film and Media Ensemble. Backstage Pass is a production of WXXI Public Broadcasting. And from all of us, happy holidays.
This is Classical 91.5 and 90.3.